You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
I don't think anybody this morning would have a problem or would argue, be surprised by that phrase that starts out early in the passage there. Make the best use of the time because the days are evil. A few headlines this week: Ebola, ISIS, continued racial tension in Ferguson, Missouri, a pumpkin festival in New Hampshire turns into a riot. A pumpkin festival turns into a riot. They were turning over cars and setting things on fire. I have no idea. Political elections, if you have flipped on the TV, it's just like, oh my gosh, make it stop. The days are evil, folks, I'm telling you. What's going on in our world? Now, let me just start by saying, it seems like God is trying to teach me something about time recently. So, starting back in May, I had a lot of time on my hands after back surgery and then 4.5 weeks later jaw surgery and then recovering, was out 10 weeks here at the church and had a lot of time on my hands this summer. And it was a little tough. And then by contrast, after we got into August and school got started, I've had very little time on my hands in the last 9 weeks since school started, between teaching during the day and pastoring and just trying to juggle all of that and the busyness of this new schedule and the challenge of trying to keep some semblance of balance and order and normalcy, had very little time on my hands. So it seems like God's trying to teach me something, and during the last 9 weeks, in the busy part, it seems like I've been forced to do some serious weighing out of priorities because there's just not enough hours in the day to get it all done. And at least not all the things that I think I need to do. Well, we've probably heard it before that time is the great equalizer. No matter what your status in life, you could be rich, poor, powerful, powerless, educated, uneducated, homeless, housed, employed, unemployed, we all get 24 hours. The great equalizer. We all get 24 hours to use each day. It's interesting, though, when we look at this passage from Ephesians, this is not the kind of time that this is talking about, making the best use of the time. He's not saying you need to schedule out your 24 hours the right way, and you need to try to get is most done in the least amount of time and be efficient. And you know, that's not the time he's talking about. In biblical Greek, there's two words that get translated into time. One of them is the word chronos in Greek, and it's kind of like chronological time, like clock time. There's 60 seconds in a minute. There's 60 minutes in an hour and 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week and about 4 or 4.5 weeks a month and 12 months a year and 10 years a decade and 100 years a century and 1,000 years a millennium, right? I mean, chronological time that we understand that way. Then the second Greek term is the word kairos, and it refers to the quality of time. It means, kairos means an appointed time or a due season. You can't see kairos on a clock. It's the coming together of circumstances for God's divine purposes. As one pastor, he put it this way. He said, kairos is pregnant time, the time of possibility, moments in our day or our week or our month or our year or our lifetime that define who we are. It's a crossroads, a teachable moment. It's the right or opportune moment. And they are rarely neutral and always have an impact on us. Now, this same pastor was talking about, he went on to say, I didn't know this, but in Greek mythology, there were two, they have personified Kronos and Kairos. And sometimes these two figures, they get personified, portrayed with long hair and the hair is often growing out of their face or their hair going forward, always going forward, and the top and back of their head are bald. So it's kind of this weird look, but the idea being that if you saw time coming at you, there was at least the possibility of grasping on and holding it, but once it's gone by you, there's nothing to grasp. It's gone. There's no way to get it. Very fascinating. This is the kind of time that the writer of Ephesians is talking about, Kairos time. He says we're called to make the most of the time because we may never get it again. The days are evil, so live as wise people. But the reality is, we don't take advantage of the time that we should a lot of times. We have a tendency to find ways to kind of check out, whether emotionally or mentally or spiritually. I mean, we may be physically present somewhere, but mentally, we're kind of 1,000 miles away and time is slipping by us. And the writer of Ephesians, he describes it. He describes this kind of attitude. But he says it this way. He says, don't get drunk on wine. Now, I don't really think that the writer of Ephesians has in mind here a message about temperance. He's not saying, per se, you shouldn't drink alcohol. Some people will read into that. But if you put this in the larger context, he's making a comparison. Because it doesn't have to be wine. All of our addictive behaviors, whether it's substances or food or work or technology or whatever, they usually stem from this temptation, this pull to self-medicate, to deal with the pain of life, the struggle of life, by just numbing ourselves to it. Whatever that action is, whatever that is for you, that we want to kind of numb out. Now, through my surgeries this summer, I did learn an important thing about anesthesia. Anesthesia is a good thing. Because there are times when you are going through an experience that is so incredibly physically painful that you just can't handle it. And during those times, it becomes really important to numb yourself for a brief period of time so that in that brief period of time, the extreme, extraordinary pain that you're going through can lead you to a place of healing. The problem is, however, when we choose to kind of constantly live our lives on the useless anesthesia of the world, numbed out by television, numbed out by internet, numbed out by video games, numbed out by work, numbed out by our incredibly long to-do list and just our schedule and busyness, or the opposite end, numbed out by our laziness that we're just like, doing nothing. You can't make me. Numbed out by our apathy or by our stuff or by our vacations or our distractions. There's all of this useless anesthesia of the world that we can lose sight of what Scripture says, that the days are evil, so there's no time to lose. There's no time to just get numbed out and just kind of get on cruise control. So what's the alternative, the writer of Ephesians? We might ask the writer of Ephesians. It's a life. He says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk on the pleasures of this world. Get drunk on the Spirit of God. So what does that look like? That's what the passage says. It says, it looks like a life shaped by worship. To speak to one another in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. I've always loved this passage, and I've always thought it was so weird because I have this weird, sometimes very literal mind every once in a while. So it's like, speak to one another, and you kind of imagine, what does that conversation look like? It's like you go up to somebody and you're, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. And they're like, on Christ the solid rock I stand. And, oh, victory in Jesus, you know. Amazing grace. I was like, that's so awkward. How do we speak to one another in hymns? And what does that mean? Like I said, that literal part of me gets this really bizarre picture in my head about it. But I think what it's saying is that we are to have lives that have been shaped and molded and fashioned by Scripture. That's what it talks about. Speak in psalms. Not that you quote the psalms to somebody, but that your life has been shaped and formed by Scripture. Therefore, it inhabits your speech and the way you talk to one another. The way we have understood Scripture, our lives get oriented around God's movements in the world and in our lives, and we're responding to that. That our lives are shaped by our worship, by the times we come together and we put God first and say, God, you reign. You are the one who's in control. You are the one whom I worship. You are the only one who's worthy. And when our lives are shaped around those priorities of worship and Scripture and who God is, then when we open our mouths, truth and love come out. It's also a life shaped by thanksgiving. That's what the Scripture says. It says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. Now, I've been talking to our 10th graders at school about the role of suffering. And what role does suffering play in our lives and in our world? And I've come to the deeper conclusion that God never wastes pain. That God uses pain and difficult circumstances to shape us and to mold us. It is in suffering that we become more and more like Christ. As C.S. Lewis said, he said, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a sleeping world. Now, Romans 8:28, one of those verses that we cling to frequently, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Had to be clear with the 10th graders to say to them, look, this does not say that God causes bad things to happen. This does not say that bad things really are good things in disguise. That's not what it's saying, because evil stinks. Illness stinks. Death stinks. Injustice stinks. Hunger and homelessness and oppression and war and violence, it stinks. We're not trying to pretty it up and put a bow on it. If we understand, however, that all things work together for good, and good we could translate as Christ-likeness. All things together work together to shape us and mold us into Christ's image, then we're able to endure suffering because we know that it's not purposeless suffering, that God does not waste suffering. God uses suffering to shape us and to mold us. Therefore, if we're making the most of our days, we can give thanks because we know God is using this. The things we're going through are not arbitrary. They may not be caused by God, but God is using them, these difficult circumstances in our lives, to shape us and to mold us. The writer of Ephesians ends our passage saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So if we're looking at it, he says, look, make the most of the time. Don't get drunk on the things of the world. Don't get distracted. Don't get numbed out. Don't get anesthetized to life. Know that sometimes God, in every situation, give thanks. Because even in the pain, God is shouting to us to wake us up, to say, look, I want you to focus on me. I want you to pay attention to me. Therefore, at the end, therefore come together and submit to one another. So the South African concept of the South African word Ubuntu, I don't know if you guys have heard this term before, Ubuntu, captures this really clearly. So Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he said it this way. Ubuntu, it is to say, my humanity is caught up and inextricably linked to yours. We belong in a bundle of life. We say a person is a person through other persons. It is not, I think, therefore I am. It is rather, I am human because I belong. I participate. I share. A person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others. For he or she has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished or treated as if they were less than they are. Or as the writer of Ephesians says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You are united together into this community. Make the most of the days. Make the most of the time. Recapture it. Focus on what's important because the days are evil. Satan would love for us to go through life numbed out, not really paying attention, just surviving. That is the work of the enemy, to say, if I could get them just to survive. And Christ says, no, it's not survival. It's thriving that I want from you. It's you being shaped in my image through the good and the bad. So if we were to put all this together, sum it up. Don't live anesthetized by the pleasures of the world. Don't get too comfortable. Don't sleepwalk through life. Don't fall so in love with this world and the pleasures of it that you forget that God has a bigger purpose for you. Instead, wake up. Carpe diem. Seize the day. This day has been given as a gift. So get drunk, not on wine, but on the Spirit of God. On the Spirit of God. Live a life that's being shaped day in and day out by the Spirit of God. A life shaped by Scripture. A life shaped by worship. A life shaped by thanksgiving. A life shaped by community. Come on, church. We've got to go. We gotta get moving. We've got to take advantage of every opportunity and look for every opportunity. Look for those divine appointments that God is bringing in our life. Let me close out with just a couple of maybe a paragraph or two from a blogger that he was writing a blog on time and money management, strangely enough. But he's writing from a Christian perspective. And he said, talking about this difference between Chronos and Kairos, these two different times. He says it this way. Some moments are more valuable than other moments. The 5 minutes that I have a chance to share the gospel with an unsaved friend is a more valuable 5 minutes than when I'm processing my email. I have to take advantage of my opportunities. We must change our view of what effectiveness really is. Though we want to use our minutes and seconds wisely, biblical evidence is not necessarily us ramming as much as we can into 24 hours. It's not us putting our head down and plowing the field with as much vigor as we can muster. Instead, the effective steward is a focused watchman, whose senses are attuned to the slightest hint of an opportunity. He's a hawk on the lookout, making the most of every minute and every second, and looking for ways to invest in others and to look for the ways that God is bringing those divine moments of Kairos time, pregnant with possibility, ready to shape us, to mold us, and to use us to shape and to mold others for Christ. This is the message, I think, if we were to look at all of what we've talked about since August, coming back around full circle. We talked about the face of Ecclesia. We started with formation. This is full circle. This is what this passage in Ephesians is saying. Use every opportunity that God has given you to shape, to form, to fashion, to mold you. Give thanks always. Don't waste your time because you don't have that much of it. Today is my birthday, and so Michelle was very kind to remind me last night that I'm halfway to 70, and she said it jokingly, but man, I didn't think about it like that. And I was like, golly, that's what? I was like, how did, what happened? Where did it go? Isn't that true with all of us, though? We blink and it's gone. We blink and our kids are grown. We blink and they're getting married, right? They're moving out. They're going to college. We blink and we're like, I'm nearing retirement. What has gone on with life? Where did it go? Make the most of every second and every minute. Grasp hold of it. Infuse it with meaning. Do things that are lasting, that have eternal significance. Don't numb out. Don't numb out. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are pouring into us the life of the Holy Spirit. You are pouring into us the life of your Son. You're constantly using our circumstances to shape us and to mold us and to shave off the rough edges, Lord, and to make us into the men and women that you want us to be. And Lord, you have given us each and every day as a gift. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to make the most of every opportunity, to make the most of every conversation, to look for those opportunities where you are opening doors for us to invest in eternal things. Lord, help us to not become so distracted that we're sleepwalking through life, that we're walking through life slaves to our to-do lists and slaves to our schedules and our daytimers and our iPhones, that we go through life slaves to our bank accounts and our bills. Help us to make the most of every opportunity, Lord, and to invest it in eternity. Lord, we pray that you would also help us to see through your eyes that we are being shaped and molded and fashioned, and that you don't waste pain and you don't waste suffering and you don't waste difficult circumstances, but that you walk with us through them, using them to shape us, using them to mold us, using them to bring out your good in our life. So, Father, help us to trust you even in the valley, even in the darkness, even when we can't see the step in front of us. Help us to know that you are with us. You will not leave us nor forsake us. And you will not let any of this struggle go to waste. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to wake up. Help us to wake up and to seize the day. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.